What is up, Tombstoners? And welcome back to another action-packed episode of
High on Horror.
I'm one of your three hosts, Chris. I'm joined by my boys, Miles and Josh. What's up, dudes?
Hello. Hey. Back Spooky at it again stuff. With the white Vans.
Damn, Daniel.
It's like week 12 of that.
Fucking time. And not a single person has been on our social media being like, you know what I like, guys? I'm loving that damn Daniel.
Never forget. He's not the real single one.
Well, this week we are going to be covering a 2016 film called The Monster from A24, directed by Brian Bertino, who also did The Strangers. But before we get into that, what's been going on with y'all? What kind of spookiness y'all been getting up to?
I did like spooky adjacent things this weekend. I rewatched a couple of movies that have horror elements, but they're not technically horror movies. I rewatched Godzilla vs. Kong.
Hey.
That's a good time.
Yeah, it was a pretty good time. I realized watching it, I'm like, this is like an accurate American remake of a Godzilla movie.
Yes!
There's so much weird shit in it that I'm sure most like non Godzilla fans would be like, this is really out there for a Godzilla movie. And it's like, no, this is exactly what a Japanese Godzilla movie is. Weird fucking mental, like, melds with a alien robot. Like, there's a whole bunch of shit like that in there that makes no sense, but I love it. And today I rewatched Mortal Kombat, the new Mortal Kombat, which is spooky-ish. And they're both an enjoyable time. So other than that, I haven't had time to do anything spooky.
Nice. Miles?
Besides buying entirely too many shirts off of Wish.com, which is a trend that continues, I'm three quarters of the way through two spooky movies. The first one is called Terrified. It's a Shudder movie. It's a foreign film. And it looks like a low-budget movie, but it legitimately has had several scary moments that took me totally by surprise, that I was like, not just like a jump scare, but like, yo, that's fucking creepy. So I suggest you guys check out Terrified. I haven't finished yet. I don't know how well it ends, but I know it's got some effective horror in it, which I haven't felt in a long time. I was surprised. And then the other one is horror adjacent, I suppose. It's called Communion with Christopher Walken. Have you guys seen this movie?
No.
I've heard of this movie.
This is the most Christopher Walken you'll ever get. He is so fucking weird in this movie. It's incredible. He is a writer who has a son and a wife, and they like go out to the country for camping and shit regularly, and aliens abduct him and like probe him, and they put shit in him. And he, like, slowly just, like, descends into madness while still already being Christopher Walken, who has descended into madness in real life. So it's a really good time. Like, the plot of the movie and the actual execution, not great, but for no reason other than to watch Christopher Walken, it's a great movie.
I'm Christopher Walken here. Sorry. Sorry, Josh. You actually had something important to say.
The aliens are terrible. They do not look good at all. They're terrible. No, they're like clearly made of plastic, the ones with the big heads. And then they just have people with towels over them and have pig masks on the towels. And it's like, they're the aliens. And it's like, I don't think that's very scary, Christopher. So,
Walking.
Yep. It's so funny to watch him like play with children and stuff. He's so fucking weird. Anyway, yeah, what'd you do, Chris?
So kind of horror adjacent as well. The first one was I rewatched the South Park episode about the head lice outbreak from season 13.
Kelly, we've got to do what we can to protect my baby.
I love that shit. That episode is so funny. But specifically the part that fits the horror thing, besides them getting melted by the lice shampoo and turning into these like bloody abominations of flesh, is they do like a direct ripoff of The Thing, where Cartman is testing everyone's blood to see who had head lice. And he acts like he's even in the Kurt Russell jacket and everything, and he like puts the heat to Kenny's blood and like starts shaking it around all, and it like spills all over him. He's like, Kenny has the headlines. So just some love from South Park. I haven't watched that one in a while, so that was good times. The other one that I've been watching is or the other film that I just rewatched for the first time in a minute was it's more of a thriller, but I feel like it's like Saw Light, like Saw without the gore, Escape Room. Have you guys seen that movie?
No.
I've so heard it's surprisingly good.
It is. I thought it was gonna be shit when I first saw it. I was convinced to see it, and I really didn't want to, but someone twisted my arm, and so I was like, fine. So I watched it, and I was like, okay, this movie's actually good. Like, it seemed like it would be like a terrible sci-fi straight to DVD kind of movie, but yeah, I actually really like some of the parts in it, and yeah, it's worth watching. I won't say anything else. It's on Hulu right now, but it definitely has some the scariest part for me is one like a scene where there's like falling from heights kind of thing. And it's just so tense. Like, I found myself, I've seen it three times, and I found my hands and feet sweating when I watch it every time, like this particular scene.
Damn, so. Three times. So yeah, that's a good ass movie.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I would not overhype it. There's one particular part that I love, but I would say overall it's a good movie and it's worth watching. I thought it was pretty. The sequel's not as good, but it's got, I love those like trap movies where there's just like ludicrous machinery, or, you know, give me any Saw movie. I just always am so drawn in by these ridiculous links people go to torture these randoms. So, but yeah, okay. So I'm not missing anything, right? We're going in?
No. So we're talking about the monster.
Meow.
I read on the opening title of the trailer that this was done by the same guy who did The Strangers. The Strangers being my favorite horror movie, and I feel like it's in everybody's top at least 100. Mm-hmm. So, like,
oh, dude, I would hope higher than that.
Yeah, at least 100, I said. Is everybody, all of the masses, every human.
It explains the random Scott Speedman cameo in this
movie.
Yeah,
Scott Speedman. I was like, oh my God.
A 2-second cameo in this movie.
Where he's just a dick, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, he's the worst.
He's just a fucking dickhead.
But we should say, if you want to watch this movie, if you haven't seen it, it's on HBO Max right now. It's from 2016, starring Zoe Kazan, who I've never seen in anything, even though I've heard her name thrown about quite a bit. But looking up her IMDb, I was like, yeah, I haven't seen any of this. But I really liked her, even though she is a piece of garbage in this movie.
Oh, yeah, dude. She killed this role. Like, what else has she even been in? I've recognized her, but I'm like,
I feel like she looks like a couple of different people.
Yes.
Because she kind of looks like Robin from Stranger Things.
Oh, she's with Paul Dano. She's married to Paul Dano.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or it says her partner, so maybe they're not married, but they're together.
Interesting. I wasn't that impressed by her in this movie, to be honest. Like, all of the drama stuff was real good, but when it came time to actually, like, confronting monsters and stuff, she was not selling those lines to me. I was like, she had like a torch in her hand and she's like, come get me. Like, it was too much. But yeah, she's the, like, she hit the drama notes pretty well though.
Well, there's like, you can tell editing wise, there's like back and forth, and some of it is on purpose and some of it, I'm not sure if it was on purpose, but there'll be like, there'll be scenes of her like comforting the child. And then, like, immediately the next scene, they're sitting next to each other, and, like, she's yelling at her to do things. And I understand it's, like, the point is to push the fact that this character is very unstable and is an addict, so, like, what, you know, her emotions are all over the place and stuff. But, I mean, when you're in a life-or-death situation, I feel like that kind of clicks off a little bit.
One would
There's
hope.
A goddamn monster running around.
Okay, so, before we get into all of this, I will say that this is, so Brian Bertino, who did The Strangers, he also did, he wrote and directed The Strangers. He also wrote The Strangers Pray at Night. And I want to say he did, yeah, The Dark and The Wicked, which is another movie I'd like to review on here. But I've seen a theme, and he also did The Black Coat's Daughter, but I've never seen that. I heard it's good, though. I think that's on Netflix right now. Emma Roberts. But
Emma Roberts.
I traced a theme through his movies, and this dude heavily, like, it'll always be a, like, how do I put it? So there's always a life or death situation that happens, like, during a extremely traumatic event. So you have, like, one thing I really like about him as a director, and I think he executed well in this movie and the other two I mentioned, is he, like, you get really into the characters. They get actually fleshed out. You actually care if they die or not, right? Like, same with The Strangers. And, like, in The Strangers, the trauma was that she, Liv, what's her last name? Liv Tyler?
Yeah.
Yeah. She turns down Scott Speedman's marriage proposal, and they're, like, rocked from that, their relationship. In this one, Zoe Kazan, Kathy, is driving her... Wikipedia says teenage. I don't know about that. She's like 11. Her daughter.
Yeah, they do. When she wakes her up at the beginning, it says mom over and over again. I'm like, do you mean older sister? Like, you don't look that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
But in this one, it's like she's having to give up custody of her daughter. It's currently her dad's turn for custody, but. As we kind of like flesh out more of the story, you see that it looks like she's going to not be coming home anytime soon, coming back to live with her mom.
Yeah, it's slowly revealed over the course of the movie that her mom is an alcoholic. I mean, you kind of get the signs right away because she's cleaning up a bunch of beer bottles and shit. But I think it probably would have worked better if she was a drug addict. I know there's not a huge difference, and it's not to take away from, you know, that alcoholics have horrible mood swings and can be abusive and all this stuff. But, like, a lot of the things they had her doing and way they had her behaving, especially with, like, the Scott Speedman stuff that they eventually get to, they're acting like crackheads. And yeah. It's like, all right, you aren't beating the kid and screaming at your girlfriend because you haven't had a beer in 10 minutes. Like, take it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it just would have worked a little better if she was like a heroin addict or something.
I honestly don't disagree. Mm-hmm. But either way, so the entirety of the story takes place on this like old country road that these two drive down on a rainy night. And this is distributed by A24. I loved the cinematography in this movie. I thought all of the shots in the woods were awesome. Like, and this movie benefits a lot from not showing the monster very much. I think any movie that will hold the monster longer, and then as long as it's not an abomination, which I thought the effects, like I thought the practical effects work of the monster looked good. I thought it was fine. Like, there were parts where it was more lit up and it didn't look as good, but overall, like, I was happy with it, which I love a good creature feature.
I feel like as far as the way the monster looks, it was Wish.com's version of Venom. It was very, very Venom-esque, but I don't know, the appearance of it didn't anatomically make sense for the environment it lives in. So either it's an alien or what, I don't know. But I was like, this is a guy in a suit the whole time is what it felt like to me.
Yeah, I'm never a fan of not showing the monster, which is what they do in a lot of monster movies. It's like, it's what everyone's coming for. They want to see that monster. Like, even if you don't want to show it a lot, eventually you got to show it a good amount or face on. Like, you can sparse it out and show a hand here and there for the majority of the movie, but there has to be some sort of payoff, and it does eventually pay off in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, we get this thing literally lit the fuck up, like on fire. We get like a full frontal.
No, that part wasn't very good. That was clearly a man with a blanket on him.
Full frontal, baby.
I thought I was the only one who noticed the blanket. Yes.
No, it's clearly I mean, it didn't have webbed arms. I clearly had webbed arms.
Oh my god, I did not notice that. What? So it was just a dude with a fire blanket on him on fire?
Basically.
That's funny.
There are some like inconsistencies with the monster at the end that we will get to about like its weaknesses and stuff, where it's like, well, clearly at this point that was happening and it wasn't bothered at all. So
right.
Why would it be bothered now?
Yeah, so they head down this road, and like we throughout this film we get a lot of really well done cuts, like flashback cuts, where it just like develops the relationship between this mother and daughter. And I mean, Kathy, the mom, is fucked up. She's a really, really fucked up bad mom. Like, she loves her daughter, but she's very abusive to her. She physically abuses her like once, but it's mostly emotional abuse and neglect. And I don't
know when the scene happens. I feel like it's pretty close to this point where they're standing in the garage yelling "fuck you" at each other. That was a powerful scene. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, and so it's just like it's hard watching it for this little girl, because you see like throughout the entire film she is basically the adult. Like, the mom has her call 911 to like let them know, you know, and it's just like, her mom is a fuck up, like, and so.
Yeah, I love the scene. They're in the car when they first get in the car. I call her a little girl because she doesn't seem like a teenager really, but she has a stuffed doll that sings when you squeeze it, and she's sitting in the car arguing with her mom, and then it goes quiet, and she squeezes the doll, and it starts singing. And the mom goes, "You're too old for that thing," and she just stops and goes, "You're too old for a lot of things."
Roasted.
And I was like, hell yeah, girl, you tell this bitch.
This little girl reminded me of Greta Thunberg or whatever.
Yeah.
The little Swedish climate activist girl. Like,
she does look like
her. She looks like her. I was like, bruh, she about to pop off at the UN. So they're driving, and the daughter makes it clear to the mom that she wants to live with their dad permanently, and you know, so they're kind of just like sitting in this like tense silence, and Kathy is driving and she ends up hitting something, and it turns out to be a wolf. Now, I was trying to figure this out. Did they hit the monster first?
I think like maybe the monster was chasing the wolf and ran into the side of the car.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you can see the wolf and it's all fucked up already.
Yeah.
And the driver's side door doesn't open after that. So it must have run into the side, because she can't get that door open after she hits the wolf.
Hmm.
Which is kind of weird too, because clearly this monster actually exists in this movie, but at the same time it's supposed to be like a metaphor for everything this girl's going through, and like the monster, the demons her mom can't overcome, and how she won't make the same mistakes and she'll like become brave and all this stuff, but there's an actual fucking monster.
So at this point their car's fucked up, they call 911, they're gonna send an ambulance and a tow truck. So the mom gets injured, and so she's like bleeding from her head. And I thought like they had gone from like being pissed at each other to immediately like the mom is like tending to Lizzie, making sure she's okay, which, you know, there are moments. It's like a very conflicted character. Like, they do show that she really does love her daughter, but like she's just a toxic person. Like, she's just got so much fucking baggage that her child is like suffering from.
Yeah, it was her addiction takes center stage in her life.
Yeah,
so like she clearly has maternal instincts, but they're just constantly set aside for this kind of monkey on her back.
Mm-hmm. So we get the tow truck driver, Jesse rolls up and so he gets there and he's like, yeah, like no one drives down this road anymore since they built, you know, like this alternate route. And so they're going to tow the car, and he takes their bags and puts it up in the front cabin of the tow truck, which their bags have both their phones. So now, like, both our main characters no longer have a way to call for help or let anyone know that the monster's out there. Additionally, instead of him just being able to hook it right up, he has to get under the car because it's leaking oil. So it'll be like dangerous to leak oil all the way back. So he needs to like patch it, and then they'll be able to get it up on the truck. So
that's what he was doing.
Not okay. A thing either. Not a thing. He's like, you got a broken axle and you're leaking oil. I have to fix this first. It's like, no, you wouldn't. You just fucking lift it up and move it. Like, you're not going to fix a fucking axle in pouring rain in pitch black. Like, get the fuck out of here.
That was what I was thinking, too. He's like, you have a broken axle. I have to fix it, and then we have to go to a shop. And I'm like, the order of operations, PEMDAS, this is not right.
So, yeah, he's underneath the car. At this point, Lizzie realized... Oh, and they also had this moment where they go and stand next to the wolf, and they identify that it has these bite marks, and they find this tooth from the monster.
Giant tooth.
Yeah, it's like a fucking megalodon tooth. And so... So Lizzie notices that the wolf's body disappeared, and so that freaks her out big time. And then... Kathy is like, you need to chill out. It's not a big deal. Like, it's fine. He probably just crawled into the woods to die. Blah, blah, blah. So at this point.
Why don't you go out there and get our phone?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Go get our cell phone. So she gets out of the car to go and talk to Jesse, and she can't find him. She sees his flashlight, like, on the ground. Oh, and we got, like, a really nice, like, tense moment where, like, he's underneath the car and you just, like, hear the monster growling and shit, which I thought was cool. Let's see. So then we get this whole scene from the beginning of when Jesse goes under the car on. It reminds me so much of Jurassic Park.
Very
in the
much
Jeep
so.
Scene. Like... You get you even get the nod where Samuel L. Jackson's arm falls on Ellie Sattler, too. Like, we get this severed arm that just falls, like the goat leg in Jurassic Park, on the windshield of the car. And so they obviously start freaking out. And, like, Kathy jumps back in the car before that arm gets thrown onto the car. I'm assuming the monster just ripped it and just chucked it with his jaws. But so then we see Jesse, and we get this slow death of Jesse. This man crawls out of the woods and is like on death's door. And it's just like this.
He's missing an arm. He's coughing up blood.
It's a painful thing to watch, too, because, like, Kathy wants to go and help him. And Lizzie's like, please, like, I'm begging you, do not go out there. And so they don't. And this dude, like, struggles to pull himself to his feet to get into his lifted tow truck. And, of course, the door's locked. So then he, like, has to get his keys. And it's just like, painfully slow. You're just like, no. And all the while you hear the women freaking out, and you hear the monster like growling.
They keep going, turn around. He's laying on the ground with one arm. How's he gonna turn around? What is he gonna do to stop this monster from mauling him?
Yeah, the things that these women think someone can hear in the pouring rain outside, far away,
without the doors open.
In a thunderstorm with no windows down or anything. Like, over them constantly honking the horn. All I could think is this poor guy, he's got one arm off. He's coughing, choking on his own blood. And all he has to listen to them fucking honk the horn over and over again. Like, he's not going through enough. he's got to listen to this annoying shit as he dies.
Yeah, so Jesse... after a triumphant attempt and almost getting into the truck, I think he even got the door open.
Mm-hmm.
He falls back, and this monster absolutely shreds him and drags him off into the woods.
Practical is not bad in this movie. There's a lot of spitting with light behind it. There's a lot of that, but otherwise it really was not offensive to me, that the quality of it.
Yeah, so they're freaking out in the car at this point, and they are like, understandably so, they just watched Jesse just get mauled. And Lizzie accidentally activates her little teddy bear. And this is where you get probably, in my opinion, the scariest part of the whole movie. So they stop the sound from the teddy bear, and they're sitting there super freaked out. And the mom has her back to the driver's side window. And she's like, it's okay. Like, it didn't hear us. And this thing fucking bursts through the window and yeets this woman so far and so suddenly, because they like really let that scene linger. Like, I was paying attention this time because I've seen this movie now two or three times. And I was like, I wonder how long they're going to let it hang that like something's about to happen, but it hasn't. And it's a substantial amount of time. That was, they really, like, you're sitting there in quiet for like 10 seconds before that thing bursts through the window.
Yeah. And he fucks her up too. He is on her. Yeah, he like whips her out and throws her, and then like bites her, throws her back against the car, like slashes her stomach.
He's yeah, not her fucking body around. Getting ragdolled around looked pretty real. Like, she was yeah. getting fucked up.
Dude, this monster, you know what it reminds me of? Is it looks like the bunny from Donnie Darko. If he
yes. does have the face of the bunny.
If he got if he got that fucking Bane serum from the George Clooney Batman movies. Like, that's what this is. Okay, so mom gets absolutely tossed. She very luckily has an ambulance pull up right as she's about to get eaten alive. and the monster is scared away temporarily. And so they bring her inside, her and Lizzie, they put her in the back, and one EMT is out fucking about, like shining a light. And then the second EMT goes out to find the first one. And the chick comes back, who is the one who was out there longer, but the dude who went to go find the lady so they could leave gets absolutely dominated. He gets an off-screen death. You don't even get the glory of getting killed in this movie, dude.
Yeah, he just smashes against the windshield. His body.
The other EMT, the female like driver, she was like out in the woods, and she saw like the arm of Jesse, and she was like, holy shit, we need to get like some more animal. She calls animal control and forensics, I think, like crime scene investigation or whatever, because there's been
the something coroner killed.
Yeah, coroner, that's what it was. So she gets back in the car. And when that dude gets thrown onto the windshield, they're like, the Kathy and Lizzie are like, please, can we leave? Like, I am begging you. We need to go right now. And they don't, of course, because it's a horror movie. the EMT up front, after the window gets this part was hilarious, dude. her very first freaking instinct when this thing threw that body up on the windshield was, I gotta kick this windshield out and then not move the car. So she busts, she kicks the front windshield out and then doesn't do shit, and this thing gets on top of the car. Like, as soon as you hear it crunching around on top, I'd be like, we're flooring it. Like, we gotta right. go. And she doesn't move. And she gets yoinked. She gets fish hooked out of the front seat, up out of view. And
dude, what just happens is, like, the mom, Kathy, is sticking her arm out to try and, like, get the lady in the car driver's seat. And they both are just like lacklusterly sticking their hands out at each other. Like, what was yeah. this? What was this supposed to be? Because this isn't it.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, Kathy, we know you don't care about people. You treat your own daughter like shit. Why are you trying to help this stranger?
Yeah. So let's see. So EMT is dead as fuck. Everyone else who encounters this monster dies immediately. Kathy is very, very lucky. You know what this movie could have used also, though, is a police, like a squad car, like a police officer. We needed someone to shoot a gun at that thing.
Make it like Return of the Living Dead. More and more cars and cops and everybody keeps showing up. It's just killing everybody.
Okay, so at this point, they get into the car. Or they get up into the front seat after she gets pulled away. And Kathy does what the lady should have done after she kicked out that windshield and floors it. So she gets probably about, I don't know, five, 36? 6 seconds, yeah, down the road. And she gets fucking rammed for the second time this evening off the road by this thing. It comes and hits the side of the vehicle like full speed, and it throws the entire ambulance off the road and flips into some trees. Which, like, this is by far the worst possible position you could have been in. So Kathy is now vomiting up blood. Like you said, some good blood spit. She's got severe internal bleeding. And she is now aware that the monster is scared away by bright light.
Yeah, when they crash, the monster tries to come through the back, and she like shines a flashlight in its face and it runs away. But there have been plenty of times where this motherfucker was in front of car headlights and he wasn't fazed by him at all. So this revelation made zero sense.
I thought the same thing. I didn't really
understand. Literally the scene where he's coming in the car and she shines a flashlight on him, he's coming through the front of the car with headlights pointed right at
him. We forgot to mention my favorite character in this movie. It's the Zippo that makes random appearances just to remind you that it's there. She, in the beginning of the movie, the little girl gives her the Zippo. She puts it in her pocket, and at random points through this movie, she pulls it out and she goes, "Yeah, I just got to remember I have this in my pocket," and puts it back in, and then we keep moving. And I think there's like four separate scenes where she shows off that she has this Zippo, and I text the boys. I was like, one of the top rules in horror movies should be always know where your Zippo is.
It's foreshadowing.
Yeah.
they overdo it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene in the beginning, the little girl's playing with the lighter, and the mom's like, quit playing with that. Give it to me. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you worried for her well-being? You just left her unattended for 8 hours while you slept till 4:30 in the afternoon. Like, fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Do you guys, like... I wish I had a reason to have a Zippo.
I have a Zippo.
Do you use it? Do you carry it around with you like a greaser in the 50s?
No. No, not really. I mean, I have it. Believe it or not, I actually got it with a candle that I bought. Like, it just came with it.
That's the worst candle lighting lighter you could have.
I know. But it's a really cool one. It's like it's a special edition, like Casey Musgraves lighter. It's cool.
Oh, neat.
But yeah, I don't use it that much because I don't smoke cigarettes, and so like I don't need a lighter on me really.
Right.
You know, and I live in Florida, so like when do I need to make a fire?
Yeah, I always wanted to smoke with those, but I don't have any apparatus that like I would just be dumping lighter fluid on myself, and that's a bad idea. So I never had a reason to have a Zippo, but I always wanted one. Anyway,
and that's the boob report.
So she has the Zippo and she makes a torch out of gauze and a stick.
Yep.
And that's pretty much where the Zippo's importance ends, except for at the very end. Never mind. What am I talking about?
Yeah, her like ploy is like, she's like, look, little girl, I'm going to die, clearly, whether we stay here or not, whether we fight this monster or not. I'm coughing up blood. I got some shit wrong with me. She's like, so I'm going to go into the woods to lure the monster, and I want you to run away. And like, I'll distract the monster long enough, you'll be able to get away. Word? And she's like, okay, I guess. And she does her part, and the little girl does not do hers. So basically, this lady dies for no reason.
That's what I was saying. What was the point of this?
Well, her daughter didn't listen. And also, she didn't listen to her daughter on the flip side, which I feel like is more, like, she probably should have just listened to her daughter. Like, the whole theme of this movie is you should have listened to your daughter. Anyways, so, originally, also I want to throw this out there, originally Elizabeth Moss was going to be the main actress of this film. Okay, so, she gets brutalized because she puts her fire out and her daughter doesn't do anything. And
yeah, she like changes her mind. Once she's like, okay, run now. She's like, no, no, I can't. But she clearly can't hear her because she's gone into the woods to fight a monster. And by fight a monster, I mean be brutally mauled to death.
Yeah. Well, I did like, though, that she finally did tell her daughter that she, like, loves her and, like, more than life, and that she's going to go and, like, sacrifice herself. Like, it was nice closure for someone who is pretty much a piece of shit the whole movie.
Yeah.
So. Sorry, I'm reading the synopsis in the first line of this. Under the impression Lizzie has gotten away, Kathy allows the monster to attack, parentheses, and kill her. Oh, God. Yeah, so Lizzie was unwilling to leave her mom behind, and she chases the monster away with a flashlight again.
She rolls on it and starts hitting it with a hammer.
Yep.
And all I could think is the mom's watching this being like, bitch, I told you to run away.
Yeah, why?
I'm dying here.
Young enough to have a doll, old enough to get in that tow truck and drive away. But yeah, so after she sees her mother die, she's obviously very distraught from this and kind of has this, like, I'm going to kill this thing to avenge my mother vibe going on. So she finds a spray can. What is that, hairspray? Or
it's like antiseptic.
Okay, yeah. So some type of flammable spray. And she ends up using that plus her mom's lighter to burn the monster alive.
Not how that would work. Not how it would work. She sprays at it like a real quick spray, and this motherfucker goes up like it was soaked in kerosene.
It just naturally secretes ethanol. That's what I want my life to be, is just to make up like absurdly deep canonical explanations for any plot issues for movies.
I mean, it could be true. We don't know. This thing's clearly an alien. Like, it could be secreting all sorts of things. It's very shiny.
So, she lights this thing on fire. We get a nice full frontal view of man with blanket. kind of in its death throes, it tries to lunge at her. But she ends up beating it to death with a large stick, which was nice. It was nice to get some hits in on that thing. The end of the film. So Lizzie has defeated the monster. Now at the end of the film, she ends up having a flashback to a particularly bad, episode with her mother. She remembers that her mom actually apologized to her after it and then correctly predicted that she would grow up to be a better person than she was. So as the sun rises, Lizzie finally emerges from the woods and thus ends the metaphor and the movie. And that's...
And the actual monster.
And that's the monster. Something interesting. So this movie was made for $3 million, but it only made, the budget was $3 million, but it only made $74,000. And I was trying to figure out why, and I'm looking at it. It went to fucking DirecTV Cinema.
I was shocked by that at the beginning. Yeah, it's A24, and then the other production company was DirecTV.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I didn't even know they had a production company.
Yeah, they made like one movie a year. This must have been it. They did one with Jim Carrey, too, where he, like, just has a big beard, and he's, like, a grizzled detective investigating murder. And I wanted to see it, but the only place you could get it is on DirecTV, so fuck that.
Yeah. This was also a long time ago now, surprisingly. This was 7 years ago. Like, A24 was still trying to find their legs in 2016, so they were contracting with everybody.
I also think that this movie, obviously in 2023 viewed, is a little bit different, but in 2016, I thought this was a banger. Like, I thought this was sick because we didn't have the wealth of, like, well-developed character-driven horror movies that we do now. Like, you know, I feel like that's a trend that started happening in the 2010s. And, like The Witch or Hereditary, those types of movies where you're, like, really getting into these characters. Even, what's the ghost movies that I don't like? Conjuring. Even that one.
Yeah.
Like they do good job, really good job of like actually fleshing out these characters. So you give a crap if they live or die. And so I saw this probably in like 2018 and I was very impressed. So I'm interested to hear your guys' thoughts because I feel like this movie is just like not talked about at all.
Yeah. I had never heard of it and I really liked it. I thought it was very well made. I really liked all the actors because there's only like five of them in the whole movie. But I thought they did a really good job. And I also, I kind of answered the question I had because like when we did Hereditary, I always look at movies like that and think like, why is like 63-year-old Gabriel Byrne the father of about a 10-year-old? And it's for this exact reason. Because if you do it as a, like a early 30s something and a, you know, 10 to 15 year old.
Yeah.
They look like they're siblings.
An 18 year old, like an 18 year old playing a 15 year old too.
Well, she is actually pretty older. She's 33 in this movie.
The daughter?
No, the other one.
Oh, Jesus. You scared me. I was like, we got a fucking Andy Milonakis situation going on. What the fuck?
No, the daughter was like 15.
Okay. But that still, makes sense.
I mean, I mean, it's believable. She had her when she was 18, but they don't, she looks young enough because when you see people in their early 30s in movies and TV shows, they're usually playing 17-year-olds.
Right.
So she looks like a kid. Like, that's why they have late middle-aged people playing parents all the time, even though it doesn't really make sense because it fits your brain better.
Gabriel Burns, but, baby.
Yeah, he burns all day. But yeah, I really like this movie. I thought the monster could have been better, but for what I assumed was a low budget anyways, because I was like, how much could this movie have cost? There's pretty much two locations, the house and the road.
I was confused that the budget for this was as high as it was, to be honest with you. $3 million seems a little excessive for the locations, the number of actors, the profile of the actors, and the effects work. Like, yes, I thought the effects work was good, but it was used like pretty sparingly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things there that don't seem like they cost money that are clearly costing money. The fact that they're using a rain machine the entire film is costing a good chunk of change. The fact that they flipped a few cars, which you probably have to do over and over again, that costs a good chunk of money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some decent practical effects in this that cost some money. But yeah, I mean, who knows where fucking $3 million goes.
So I want to touch on something you just said. So the rain machine, do you think, I thought it was, I actually had this question myself because there are points where the rain cuts entirely. So I was trying to figure out if they did this in a soundstage or if they filmed on location.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be hard to recreate all the woods.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
But I mean, you can just set up staging and have a raid machine and just close a road off.
True.
But I don't know. With the fact that the girl is a minor, there are a lot of laws about filming at nighttime and shit. So like, this could be a soundstage during the day, and they were able to replicate the woods. I don't know. I'd be interested to find out.
Okay, so I'm reading. It says, we were in a very isolated situation shooting in rural Ontario. There wasn't a lot around. Ella Ballantine and I were basically the only actors in the film. Oh, okay, so her mom, the daughter's mom was on site with them the whole time, I guess.
That makes sense.
So two more things I just want to touch on before we, like, kind of give our critique of this film overall. I actually really liked the score of this movie.
Yeah.
It was very like subtle, and it felt very different than most other horror movies, but it still fit what was like going on. And it had some good piano, like light piano parts that I really enjoyed. So it like actually stood out to me. I normally don't really comment on the scores unless they're baller. The other thing is I really like the cinematography. I mean, I feel like anything that A24 is involved with is shot technically very well. So you get a lot of cool shots. Like there was one in particular where it was like just zooming up to a street light, like above the road where like flies were flying around it, or bugs, moths, and like just pine needles moving in the wind. Like just some beautiful shit like that, like artsy as hell, just mixed into this film. I love that. I eat that up. So, I think that's everything I had to say about it. I'm interested to see what you guys give this one.
What are we rating it? Zippos?
That's a good point. What are we rating it? Windshield kicks?
I'm going to say one-arm Jessies.
Oh, no. Jess. One-arm tow truck drivers in general. Mm-hmm. We'll open it up.
Shout out to them all.
Open that tent up, bro. Trying to include... Hashtag inclusivity.
So, how many one-arm Jessies are we giving this bad boy?
Chris, it's your pick. You go first.
I'm between a 3 and a 4. I think I'm going to go with a... Can we give halves? Can I do a 3.5 on this one?
For sure.
You can do whatever the fuck you want, yeah. Dude. All right. It's your show.
All right. I'm giving it a 3.5 because, like, the thing about movies that use practical effects work is it always is going to look better than most CGI work, especially for low budget stuff. So, like, I actually didn't have a problem at all with the design of the monster, which I feel like is the number one issue anyone could have with this movie. If you don't like the way the monster looks, then I could see you not enjoying the film. But that coupled with, like, actual good character development, I actually gave a shit about whether these two made it out. And yes, it would have been a lot better if the mom had not sacrificed herself in a stupid way that ended up not yielding, like, any result. Like, it could have been cool if, you know, I don't know, maybe the mom kills the thing. Yeah, also, metaphorically.
Like it deserved for the mom to, like, sacrifice herself to make up for all the shit she's done.
Yeah.
Not just kill herself for no reason.
Metaphorically, too, it's like, it doesn't really make sense for the daughter to kill the demons of the mother.
Well, the metaphor is that she followed her mom to the grave, even though it was a better idea to run away. She followed her until the monster took her, and then she was worse for wear because of it. But then also it's a monster movie, so she had to kill a monster at the end.
Yeah, so what I'll say is I really enjoyed the performances. The directing is good. Like I like how all of the shots were done, all the cinematography. The writing could have been improved upon for sure. But as far as a creature feature monster movie goes, like this is one of the better ones that I've ever seen because again, there's like a pretty good story between this mother and daughter.
This Josh? Was,
Miles, sorry.
I'll go. This was actually my second time seeing this, though I had almost no memory of the first time seeing it, but I definitely had seen this movie before, and I remember being unimpressed as I was watching it and being unimpressed for the most part, but after this discussion, I have a new appreciation for it of stuff that I noticed but I didn't really dedicate any thought to, and I'm aware I was also a little distracted while I was watching it. So my only real negative thing I have to say about this is I didn't like the monster. The monster looked dumb. There were some bad acting points, but I love bad acting, so that's fine. So yeah, the monster was really what drew me away because it looks like every monster in every sci-fi channel movie ever. So that was my only complaints about it, really. So I'm leaning in the 2.53 zone. Like, it was fine. I don't love it. I don't hate it. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, I really liked it. I was really invested in the relationship. It was uncomfortable to watch at points.
It really was.
Yeah.
It made me cringe multiple times, just like how she was treating her. And like that scene with Scott Speedman was fucked. Like, I did not like that.
Yeah, that was real bad. And you just feel bad for this little girl who seems like a really decent person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was really believable. And I'm a sucker for a monster movie. So I'll give it a 3.8. I would definitely recommend this to people. It was definitely worth a watch. And I chalk it up as another win for A24. We could just be an A24 podcast at this point.
Bro, for real. Like, the thing that also, to me, gives this movie, like, a little bit of extra appeal is, like, no one fucking knows about this film. Like, no one knows what this is. Knows. No one's heard of it. So, like, automatically, this is a fun, more underground horror film that's more recent that is good enough. Like, it's not underground because it sucks. It's underground because DirecTV made it.
And the name is the most generic name
it's
for a
horror so
movie.
It's so generic. They said, I was reading, they said originally it was going to be called, like, let's see, There Will Be Monsters, There Be Monsters. I gotta find
Are
that.
There Be Monsters. Yeah.
There Are Monsters. That's what it was.
A declarative.
Like... There Are Monsters. Yeah, let's see that one.
It's the sequel.
So what does that average out to? 3.5, 3.8, and 2.5. So that's like what, 3?
3.3.
Yeah, something like three, that. So, yeah, low 3s.
But, we've never gotten to the decimals of this. This is a whole new era.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be more accurate on my rating system. I usually just go to, if I like it, it's a 4. At least 4 to 5. But there's a whole range out there of still pretty good.
I agree. And it's like, you know, I hate going back and looking at ones I've reviewed and being like, comparing a movie pound for pound, like this one got a 5, this one got a 5, but this one's clearly way better, so this one maybe should have deserved a 4. I don't like that. I like to rate everyone like it's in a vacuum.
Yeah, and I'm sure we've given a movie a fucking Kakoa Shaw that's worse than this.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Probably.
The thing about this one is, like, there's long periods of just, like, really intense drama. So, like, if you're not into drama films in general, you probably would not like this either. Like, I can't imagine.
Yeah, but I feel the atmosphere is creepy enough to kind of hold your suspense the entire time.
I do agree. When I was watching through it, it was really funny. At one point, I thought, I was like, oh no, did I pull a Miles and pick not a horror movie? And then, like, that jump scare happened, and I was like, okay, that genuinely scared the shit out of me. So, like, this is officially a horror film.
Yeah, we definitely landed in horror this time.
Well, I appreciate you guys humoring me on this. You guys know how I'm a little slut for A24 art house horror films, so so I gotta be true to my roots. Actually, oh my god, I didn't even say this. I meant to say this for spooky things. I'm wearing.
Oh, you're wearing the Gabriel Burns.
Gabriel Burns.
I totally forgot, bro. Oh my god, that's so funny. We were talking about that. Oh, wow.
For a little more context, he's wearing a Hereditary shirt of when Gabriel Burns is on fire.
When Gabriel Burns burns.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Let's do some plugs. If you're still here with us, you probably listen to our show regularly, and if you're new, welcome. I feel like we're doing this inverted, but that's okay. So we do things on social media, and you should follow them so you can know what we're up to and
rarely
see when we have new episodes. You can always know what new episodes we got going on. And honestly, most importantly, just message us about the Damn Daniel thing. It's at H-on-H-Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We also have a Threadless where you can get swagged up. That's H-on-H-Pod.threadless.com. And, you know, if you're listening to this, you know where to find us. But we're on Spotify and Apple and all those good platforms. And if you ever have a movie request, if you do hit us up, we will absolutely cup of the film. It. Yeah, well, yeah. Contingent on us wanting to do it.
We'll chat about it.
Well,
if you like the show, tell a friend. If you don't like it, tell an enemy.
Awesome. All right. Well, just remember, until next time, life is tough, so why not get
high on horror?